You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing, and I am just going to get right to it because Tiffany Faison is here in Studio 2. Welcome back.
Hi, it's nice to be here. It's nice to see you.
It's good to see you, too. And I want to start with dogs because you have a new one.
Okay, I had no idea this was. So I saw your tweet about losing your dog.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And I had adopted a dog probably a month prior. Mm-hmm. It's new to me. Mm-hmm. And your dog's name was...
Ernie.
My dog's name is Ernie.
No way.
I know. It's like one ushered in space for the other one.
I love that. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about Ernie.
He's a rescue. So I saw him on, I follow like every puppy rescue on Instagram because puppies on Instagram are the thing that keeps me sane.
Yes.
And I saw him like on a story. He wasn't even on the grid. And I went nuts. Like something happened where like my ovaries cramped. And I was like, that's my kid. So I like slid into this woman who was fostering him's DMs. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's up with this dog? Is he still... available. That was like on a Tuesday. I was driving to Jersey on a Saturday.
Yeah, oh
my God. Was my kid.
And so. How is he? How's
he's
he doing?
He's great. He's a mess. I love him to pieces. He's a really good guy. So I think he's some mini poodle, maybe Pomeranian or some sort of terrier. He's hilarious. He looks like a little Ewok, kind of. He's got a huge personality. He likes to talk without, he barks without actually barking. So he'll just look at you and bark, but there's no sound coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, it kills me. I love him to pieces.
So what you can't see, because listeners don't know, there's a giant pane of glass behind you so that I can see into the control room, and Marquise is back there. He recently also got a dog, and he's just totally like, yeah, I know.
Can we have a puppy day here?
We should do a puppy day.
Do it.
That's right. All right, so next thing I want to check in with you on is you told us about Tenderoni's here.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been about 6 months since it opened, so how's it going?
Tough.
Really?
I would love to say it's been like a honeymoon. It hasn't. We're still trying to pick up business. So trying to figure out why. I mean, the product is good. The service is good. I think the Fenway has really gone through it in terms of coming out of the pandemic. And we were really slow to come out. We were one of a few neighborhoods, I think, that were slower to come out. So we're waiting to catch fire a little bit. I'm not going to, you know, honest about all things, including the things that are hard for me. So yeah, it's a little bit of like, why is this taking so long? Our service is good. Our product is good. Things can always be better. And, you know, I go to this very dark place in my head and heart where I'm like, oh my God, like, what if it's really bad and I don't see it? I'm the first person to say, guys, this is not good. This needs work. And I don't know. So for all those people that have said, hey, I'm coming into Tenderoni's, come on in.
Come on in.
We'd love to have you. Yeah, we're fine. But like, yeah, we'd love to see our neighborhood support us.
So can I ask, it's not far from Sweet Cheeks.
It's the same building.
Yeah.
Opposite block.
So how's Sweet Cheeks doing?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just this tent. It's just putting in something new at
Correct.
This time.
Yeah. I get a lot of like, we miss Tiger Mama. It's like, yeah, I miss Tiger Mama too, guys. But also like, it was, you know, it was time for it to become something else. That's not a decision you make that's not business focused. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time in restaurants.
So it's an interesting thing because one of the things we were thinking about asking you earlier, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, we had a conversation with two of the finalists for the James Beard Awards, right?
Yeah.
And one of them is Rachel Miller from Lynn's Nightshade, Nightshade Noodle Bar in Lynn. When we asked her sort of when you found out you were a finalist, what went through your mind? One of the first things she said was, phew, I can pay my bills, which was kind of not, I think, what we thought was going to be. And so it made us kind of wonder, is that always still a thing for a chef that you're always going to be thinking about that?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Our margins are super, super slim. Always. Like even really, chains do really well because they get packaged food that comes in the back door that doesn't need any like skilled workers, any skilled cooks to transform it into something else. So independent restaurants, when we talk about supporting independent restaurants, you're 80%, 80 cents on every dollar goes back into the community. We're also receiving goods and services. We're receiving things from farms that are local farms and some commodity goods as well, but things come in the back door raw and untouched. When you're not supporting local restaurants, you're supporting things that are coming in packaged. Bags get dropped in boiling water. They get ripped open and put on a plate for you. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
So it's impactful. And we're seeing, you know, it's a really hard time for restaurants. We're seeing inflation. We've talked about this, like really affect restaurants. And you and I have talked about this before, that there seems to be a sort of assumption on the part of the consumer that we have a through line to like cheaper
anything,
vegetables, meats, whatever, our goods. We don't. it's the same for us. So, you know, I do think that it's a little bit of consumer education right now. We have to continue to talk about it. And frankly, like our guests have not paid what they should be paying for food for a very long time. What happens in the restaurant industry is if one person sort of pokes their head up and starts charging more, it's a little bit of whack-a-mole that you like really are in danger of cutting your own nose off to spite your face. So it's really important that we all talk about that. Rachel's great, and I'm really excited for her at the Beard Awards. The Beard Awards are going through their own moment right now, have been for a few years, but in the last couple of days, there's like a more significant controversy. There's no transparency in the Beard Awards, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are really afraid to talk about it. We have no idea who nominates us. We have no idea who votes on us. During and after the pandemic, there was like, you know, essentially like a committee that went in to make suggestions about how to make them more equitable, because for a very long time, it was winners that voted on new winners. And so it's a bunch of white guys that were voting for each other and winning. And so there was an attempt to sort of remedy that, but there's still no transparency. No one knows who's on the boards. No one knows. There's this sort of voting idea of visiting restaurants. All the people that are visiting restaurants are doing it on their own dime. They're not being paid through the Beard Awards. Someone just got removed from their category as a nominee without any evidence of anything
happening. Chef Timothy Hansis.
Correct. Yeah. So it's a weird time right now. And those awards are so economically impactful that I think that there is a responsibility of the James Beard of the Foundation to dig in and become transparent. That's the biggest thing. Even throughout all of the fixing the Beard Awards and making them more equitable and more inclusive, it's all, I will air quote all those things, because without transparency, we don't know that any of those things are true.
It is so interesting that you bring that up because, all right, so we have this interesting artifact mm-hmm. that you and I here on the show have been dealing with for the last few months, which is you come on every month,
yeah.
right? Which means I'm going to ask you about the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And monthly, what's been going on has been this increasing awareness and these stories mm-hmm. about restaurant culture here, mm-hmm. right? We talked about Ming Tsai and Irene Lee. Mm-hmm. We talked about what you raised at City Space with me back in February. Mm-hmm. Since the last time we talked, the news has broken about Barbara Lynch. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to that. We covered it here on Radio Boston. Mm-hmm. Last night, there was another conversation at City Space that Robin Young hosted. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was increased accountability of things like the James Beard Award
Correct.
To do a better job thinking about what do we value in the chefs that we bring forward mm-hmm. to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting for you to be talking about this
right.
today, right?
Right.
In that space. You're talking about transparency, which you talk about a lot.
A lot.
I'm also thinking about, you know, you talking about the whack-a-mole problem. Okay, you raise prices, mm-hmm. and then we play whack-a-mole because people want to go someplace cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And yet one of the only ways to create a living wage and a healthy environment, right, is to raise
mm-hmm.
prices. So we have this moment where we're reckoning nationally with something like the James Beard Award, mm-hmm. right?
Well, not really. We're not reckoning with it.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the problem.
Finish that sentence.
People are afraid. Chefs are afraid to speak out. Authors are afraid to speak out because this award is so impactful, and that's how people retain power without transparency, is that people are so afraid that they will be excluded from the awards, excluded from the conversation, that there isn't the platform and the availability and the freedom to speak about the lack of transparency. In the absence of transparency, everything is still shrouded in not understanding how things work. And so the power is inherently inequitable.
And as I understand it, in every hashtag MeToo type of, and I'm using that one as a larger umbrella mm-hmm. pushback on unhealthy industries,
mm-hmm.
right? It's always that fear of retaliation
sure.
that holds things back.
Correct.
Okay, so
that's how power imbalances work
right.
inherently, yeah.
So a couple more questions for you. As here, locally, as stories have begun to emerge mm-hmm. over the last couple of months, have you seen any thawing begin to happen? Have you seen conversations that you've been asking to have happen
yeah.
start to happen?
I think a little bit. It was interesting. I think, you know, Irene really brought forth the sort of Ming Tsai conversation. I was happy to see that just happen, right? To just have this moment that was really unfortunate and inappropriate. At least we're talking about that moment. Whether or not that like continues to crack an egg that needs to be cracked, I don't know. But we're at least having the conversation. It's not.
And this was just for listeners. This was an uncomfortable moment between Irene Lee and Ming Tsai on the City Space stage. He joked about roofying mm-hmm. her on that stage. He also made some comments about...
Haven't we had enough conversation about the Me Too movement?
Thank you. Go ahead.
The answer is emphatically no. And to have the ability to say, haven't we had enough of this? I don't know. I've been about 30 years in it. So you tell me whether we've had enough conversation, because of the, you know, 30 years that I've been in this industry, we've only been talking about it for four? So you tell me. That's enough.
So, Tiffany, this is the conversation, the other question that I wanted to ask you about this. So then, since then, the news, the story about Barbara Lynch has broken. And I want to note for listeners, we'll have a link to our Radio Boston coverage on that on our webpage at radioboston.org, because one of the things that we did is we had the reporter from the Boston Globe and our own reporter on. We had direct comments back from Barbara Lynch. We brought those comments on air and did a back and forth with the Boston Globe reporter. So we did a really clean segment on that. One of the things that was striking about that was there was this push to bring forward stories in the Boston restaurant industry, and then the first story was about a woman. And I want to ask you, A, do you want to comment about it? And B, your reaction to the fact that then the first story was actually about a woman chef once something broke?
So I think we're learning that Me Too is not a gendered movement. Period, full stop. Right? This is about having a conversation about abuse in the workplace, about power imbalances, about predatory behavior in the workplace. So whether or not that's directed towards men or directed towards women, I think historically women have borne the brunt of it, obviously. Just that's a numbers game and that's a power imbalance, but it is not specific or alone. It's not only women. So I think we're learning that, and there has to be space for this. This is the idea of a movement that eradicates abuse, or it's never going to be eradicated, but like shines light on it and starts to move it out of any industry, is not inherently gendered, and it's not going to be something that is, it can't be shrouded in one gender. It can't be looked at that way. So I think this is, it's an unfortunate moment. Look, this city was built on Barbara Lynch's shoulders, right? I think for me, that is the takeaway for this is I really want her to find a place where she can see herself, find herself, and be who she was to us and to this city. And that's not to say the kid from Best South Boston that's stealing buses and dealing drugs. Like, I want you to understand how powerful and impactful and positive you've been in this city and regain that foothold. So it's hard. It's hard to hear it. It's hard to see it. It was not surprising.
So you just brought up gender, and I want to use that to transition into non-binary identification, LGBTQ plus identification, the fact that Pride Month is next month.
Yep.
You're strong in your advocacy for the community, and it's on your mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's something, you know, I think it's really worth talking about as we head into Pride Month this year. There's been so, there have been so many bills that have been put up, anti-LGBTQ bills, I mean, legislation suggestions from like the fairly seemingly benign to the absolutely abusive and ridiculous. LGBTQ individuals have been under attack in really starting in always, but we've seen an increase in legislation, attempted legislation from 2020 all the way through to 2023 this year has been, we've seen culture wars really, really sparking up. Those have significant impacts towards our community that impact our safety. And so as we go into the month where, you know, you love to scroll through everyone's Instagram and everyone changes their logo to like a pride flag and you see all your straight friends post a picture of their marriage, their straight marriage picture with like a rainbow flag in the back that says love is love. Take a second and think about that. Like it's not just love is love. It's our lives are and our safety are in danger in ways that they haven't been in a really long time. And for, you know, talk to my industry, for restaurants that are happy to throw up your pride flags for June, especially if you're in like queer-centered neighborhoods and you're hosting pride parties, you're doing whatever it is that's increasing your sales and your bottom line, I want to challenge you about where some of that money is going. If you're using our community to, you know, allow more money in the door, then maybe some of that percentage can also be put towards keeping us safe.
So where should that some of that money go?
HRC, you can go to Bagley. There's like a significant amount of like, you know, organizations that are local and also more national. It's not hard to find, I promise you. So, you know, there's veteran organizations that are LGBTQ focused. So if there is something, if your niche is recovery and drug abuse, like recovery, there are LGBTQ organizations for that as well. well. There are senior LGBTQ organizations. So whatever your advocacy or sort of already is in the world, you can focus that towards our community.
Let's do more of this next month.
Okay.
All right. Celebrity chef, always going to say it that way. Tiffany Faison, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.